So, friends, let's read now of our justification by grace through faith. The sermon title tonight, Justified by Grace Through Faith. Romans 3, and we start at verse 9. This is God's word. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under the power of sin. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one. He will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Thanks be to God for his word from Romans 3 this evening. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, how can you be right with God? The question will strike a lot of folks as strange. I think it's probably fair to say most people imagine that everybody has to be right with God, just as the natural course of things. Is it not God's job to accept everyone, no matter what? Well, no, that is not God's job, as it turns out. He is a holy God, the just judge of all souls. And his perfect justice leads God to condemn sinners for all their rebellion against him, their creator, king. Tonight, friends, we are thinking about justification. But let's be clear why this issue, this doctrine, demands our attention. The sinful human race is under a sentence of condemnation. Not that we're okay with God, not that we're righteous before him, not that he's in the job of just welcoming us all into his holy presence. That's not the case at all. According to his perfect holiness and righteousness, God, the just judge, has brought a sentence of condemnation on the whole human race. This is Paul's first point in Romans 3, right? I mean, it's overwhelming, all of these Old Testament scriptures that he stacks up one after another to impress upon us, this is who we sinners are. Vile, rebels, utterly false, twisted in on ourselves, wicked. This is the whole human race, Jew and Gentile, says Paul. None is righteous, no, not one. Not a single sinner acceptable to God. The judge, in perfect justice, condemns the whole human race as guilty. And he consigns sinners to eternal punishment. That's the natural state of things between a holy God and this rebellious human race to which we belong. And so the question is a very momentous one. How can you, a guilty sinner, under a sentence of condemnation, which you deserve, be made right with God so that you receive the opposite judicial sentence, justification? You know, I say it's a momentous question, and it's a very momentous answer we are going to give tonight. It's that answer which Luther said is the teaching on which the church stands or falls. Because the doctrine of justification, as a matter of fact, is that doctrine without which you cannot have the true gospel. How could you, a guilty sinner, expect the just judge to declare you not guilty and then to declare you positively and fully acceptable in his sight? Lots of religious people understand that God, the just judge, is also a lawgiver, so that they turn to God's law and imagine that with a little effort, maybe with a lot of effort, they can meet God's standard of justice and then be justified. Then, after all that hard work, finally be declared just. Never. Paul is constantly telling us that the law demands perfect obedience. God is not going to be satisfied with anyone's best efforts to be righteous before him. He would be untrue to himself. He would have to deny himself to accept your best efforts. As a matter of fact, if you try to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law in order to elevate yourself, to justify yourself, listen, you are really only loving yourself, not God. And therefore, your works righteousness is offensive to him. And he regards all of your righteous deeds as a bunch of filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. Yes, the law of God shows us righteousness, and that's because it shows us his righteousness. He is the judge, just judge. He is the righteous lawgiver. He reveals his nature in the law, and he tells us in the law what he requires us to be. Righteous, because we were made in the image of God. The law reveals these things. It reveals God's standard of perfect justice. But if we sinners will face the law in all honesty and humility, we will have to realize that the law has no ability to make us right, because we really have no ability to fulfill the requirements of the law. As a matter of fact, the law shows us our sin. It shows us our law breaking, which continues every single day of our lives until our dying breath. This is Paul's point here in Romans 3, not just to tell the human race, Jew and Gentile, that we're all condemned sinners, but to make us understand you have no hope through the law. Verse 19 in chapter 3 of Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. So then, once again, I must ask, how can you, a sinner, be right with God? How can you be made right with God? I've given you a lot of bad news tonight, thus far. Here's the good news, my dear brothers and sisters. You only need to confess to God the truth about yourself, that you are a guilty sinner. The truth that you have no hope to make yourself acceptable to a holy God. But then trust in the Lord Jesus. Trust in the work that he has done for sinners. And God's promise to you is that he will forgive all your sins and justify you. that moment you look to Jesus to judge you righteous, perfectly righteous in his sight, by his grace alone. That's the good news. The doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone. The doctrine on which the church stands or falls. The doctrine on which you stand or fall before God. A lot of the time when people think of justification, it becomes so obvious after we deal properly with the law and what we really are as sinners, becomes abundantly clear we're not righteous. We don't measure up. So when God tells you, a sinner, an ungodly sinner, I count you righteous in my sight. What so many, yes, Christians think is that God is just pretending that we're righteous when we're not. Is justification make-believe? Well, absolutely not, friends. Grace does not mean that God pretends we are righteous. It means that he freely gives us the gift of righteousness. It's a gift of perfect righteousness because it's the righteousness of his own son, Jesus. Back to our passage here tonight in Romans 3, going on in verse 21 and following. Read with me. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. And that means God's way of saving. Righteousness means various things. I won't get into all the details here. But Paul's actually saying God's plan to save sinners. The plan and the promise that he made to make a sinful people right with himself. This is the righteousness of God. How does he fulfill that plan and that promise? Well, it was revealed in the law and the prophets. But now notice verse 22. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, that is, he declares sinners to be righteous in his sight by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. First of all, then, friends, justification is God's declaration. It's a judicial declaration from the judge. It's the opposite of condemnation, right? Justification is God's declaration that believers are positively righteous since he gives us the righteousness of Christ. Justification is God's declaration that believers are not merely innocent, okay, but positively righteous since he gives us the righteousness of Christ, his son. Have you heard teachers, maybe in the church, maybe in some of our homes, Christian teachers try to explain this big word, justification? You might have told your children something like this. If you trust in Jesus, God gives you justification. And that big word simply means this. God treats you just as if you never sinned. Justification, just as if you never sinned. And of course, there's truth in that teaching. It's a beautiful thing as far as it goes. The problem is that it just does not go far enough. Woefully incomplete. So God treats me as if I have never sinned. Justification, just as if I've never sinned. Well, great. What happens when I sin over and over again, which I am going to do? Could not God then decide to put aside the game of pretend, the game of just as if, and deal with me in truth? You see, the just as if I never sinned definition of justification sounds like a game of pretend, and it will encourage people, it has encouraged many professing Christians to adopt the Roman Catholic position, even if they don't know that's what they're doing. And that position of Rome says that your Protestant doctrine of justification is legal fiction. It's a game of pretend. Courtroom nonsense. God calling you righteous when you're unrighteous? You see, friends, Rome says that God, yes, initially justifies the sinner at baptism. You get baptized in the Roman Catholic Church, they will say, right then and there, boom, justified. You know what it means? Forgiven all your sins, all of the filth of original sin, everything evil washed away. Initial justification. But for final justification, you had better cooperate with God's grace. Of course he's gracious. Rome doesn't deny that God saves by grace. Of course it's all grace. But you must cooperate with that grace and do enough good works to meet his righteous standard, because only then will God finally, on the last day, justify you in truth. It is staggering to think how many Protestants hold this view. It's so totally unbiblical, but many, many Protestant Christians slip into this way of thinking. It has led countless professing Christian people to live most of their Christian lives in fear of judgment. You know it. Some of you know it firsthand. It leads countless professing Protestant Christians to pursue works righteousness. If they're not going to be despairing because they don't measure up and they're living in fear all the time, what's the flip side of that? Well, I'm studying the law as a good Christian, and I'm doing my best, and I think I measure up pretty well after all. Friends, justification is not a legal fiction. It's not a game of pretend. Listen, the just judge will declare the believer to be righteous only on the basis of works. You be absolutely clear about it. He could never declare somebody to be righteous in his sight apart from perfect righteousness. The thing is, it's not your righteousness. It's not your work. It's the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is Paul's point in Romans 3. God has always promised to save a countless number of people, Jew and Gentile, people from all nations. He was going to save them. And it was never his intention for salvation to be his work plus a bit of our work. He did not give the law to Israel to help them become righteous by all of their striving and by all of their rituals, by all of their good works. He gave them the law to show them, and he gives us the law. Yes, today, God still means through his law to show us our sin and drive us sinners to the promised Savior, Jesus Christ. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can never measure up to his standard of justice and righteousness. But you notice verse 24 in our passage. Once again, friends, we are justified by his grace as a gift. Not by pretend, but a real gift, a gift of righteousness. And you know that's what Paul means, because what he says next. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, he paid for it. He accomplished redemption. Going on to verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. See, God will justify sinners. He will declare sinners to be righteous in his sight, not because he plays pretend, but because Christ Jesus has done the work to satisfy God's justice completely. This is the Savior who redeemed us by his perfect obedience in our place, under the law of God, then sacrificed himself to make propitiation for our sins. You know what the big word means? Another big word, propitiation. Glorious, because it means that by his death on the cross, Jesus took away all of God's justice that stood against us. The condemnation we deserve, our righteous substitute took it in our place on the cross, so that we who trust in him could receive the sentence that he deserves. Justification. There's the great exchange. He gets our condemnation on the cross after fully meeting all of the demands of God's law as our substitute. And therefore, when we believe on him, the promise of the gospel is that God counts us righteous. Does not pretend we're righteous. Counts us righteous because he credits to us the perfect righteousness of his Son. Look, in justification, God declares you to be just or righteous only because he graciously grants you the righteous record and all of the obedience of Jesus. From Belgic 23, we believe that our blessedness, that means our happiness, friends. I hope you're happy to hear this good news tonight. We believe that our blessedness lies in the forgiveness of our sins, because of Jesus Christ, and that in it, our righteousness before God is contained or implied. Our forgiveness, yes, but righteousness implied. As David and Paul teach us when they declare that man blessed to whom God grants righteousness apart from works. And the same apostle, Paul, says that we are justified freely or by grace. This is Romans, through redemption in Jesus Christ. That's our passage, Romans 3. And therefore, we cling to this foundation, which is firm forever, giving all glory to God, humbling ourselves, recognizing ourselves as we are, not claiming a thing for ourselves or our merits, and leaning, resting only on the obedience of Christ crucified, which is ours when we believe. Notice that last line. Leaning and resting on the obedience of Christ crucified, which is ours when we believe. Because that's the gift of righteousness God grants you in justification. As surely as he put all of your sin and guilt and condemnation on his son there on the cross, he credits all of his righteousness and obedience to you who believe. A game of pretend is not a firm foundation for any soul. But the work of Jesus, his obedience unto death, his record that God grants to me, this is a firm foundation. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's set aside a couple more errors tonight before we conclude. My second point, justification is not merely to be forgiven for a fresh start. It is to be accepted as righteous for eternal life. Justification is not merely to be forgiven for a fresh start. It is to be accepted as righteous for eternal life. The just as if I never sinned version of justification is a problem because it leads many Christians to think that justification is only a matter of forgiveness. Article 23 is telling us, yes, forgiveness is part of it. Let's not lose sight of that. That's a precious part of justification, a precious promise of the gospel, right? Forgiveness of all of our sins through the bloody sacrifice of Jesus. And God clears the slate, yes, and he gives you a fresh start so that you're back in Eden, right? Isn't that how it goes? He clears the slate, forgiving your sins, gives you a fresh start. You're back in Eden, just as if you never sinned. And now let's see if you do better than Adam. No. Part of justification is the forgiveness of our sins. Blessed is the man against whom God will not count his sin, David says in Psalm 32, and Paul will elaborate on that passage in Romans 4. But we cannot stop there, friends. How much more blessed are forgiven sinners who know that God has graciously declared us positively righteous because God has credited the obedience of his son Jesus to us, that gift of perfect righteousness that qualifies you believers now and forever for eternal life. Listen once again, Titus 3 and verse 4. Paul says, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. There's rebirth by the Spirit we considered earlier from John 3. He poured out the Spirit on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, all of a gift of his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Precious. When God in the gospel promises you forgiveness and justification, he is assuring you poor sinners that in Christ alone, he has fully qualified you for kingdom glory. There is nothing remaining for you to do to qualify yourself. We are justified unto eternal life. You think of the sentence, the judicial sentence from the judge. Guess what? Justification is the end time verdict. Breaking into this world through the gospel. Your God telling you, you are righteous in his sight. Not only forgiven, counted and accepted as righteous today as much as you will ever be unto eternal life. Paul uses the word heir. Please, from Titus 3, please cling to that word. Because you know what heir means? H-E-I-R, heir. It means we are accepted by our gracious God as his sons, co-heirs with Jesus, our elder brother. Never forget to connect the truth of your adoption by grace to the truth of your justification by grace. God accepts us, believers, as his righteous and beloved children, just as surely as he receives holy Jesus, his own son, into his presence now and forever. Third and finally, friends, justification is received through faith alone, but is not based on our often feeble faith. Justification is received through faith alone, but is not based on our often feeble faith. How common it is for Christians to say that we are justified by faith. That expression is fine in the sense that what we do to receive justification is trust in Christ. We do not get justified by our works, right? And so Paul is always saying it. We read it in Romans 3 tonight. We find it in Article 23 of the Belgic. It's justified by faith apart from works. When we're considering what we do to get justified, it's faith, not works, right? So that we get that, right? But see, what a lot of Christians will do with that is they'll say, the basis of my justification is my faith. And we have to understand that is actually a horrific teaching. Because I can't speak for you. I'll just say, this guy at the pulpit, often struggling with feeble faith. But your faith can be like that of a mustard seed. It can be so very small and so very weak, so feeble. But it's not your faith that counts. It's the object of your faith. It's the one in whom you're trusting that counts. And so the more accurate way to express the truth of justification, friends, we are justified by God's grace alone, a gift of everlasting righteousness in Christ, which we receive through faith alone. Not the basis of our righteousness, the instrument by which we receive the gift of Christ and all his merits. You and I do not want our standing before God to be based on our faith, which is often very feeble, usually mixed with some doubt, sometimes not operative at all. Beloved, our right standing before God depends on his grace, on his goodness. For he has supplied us with Jesus, our righteous Savior. Our righteousness depends on him and the work he's done. But the only way for us to receive that Savior and all his benefits is faith. Trusting in Christ, embracing him, resting in him and all the works that he's done to save his people. Only Jesus gives us confidence before our holy God, the just judge who has terrible wrath in store for this wicked world. Let's notice in conclusion, just the last couple bits here from Article 23. It says, three paragraphs in, it says here, that is enough, the work of Christ, the obedience of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Christ crucified. That is enough to cover all our sins and to make us confident, freeing the conscience from the fear, dread, and terror of God's approach. Without doing what our first father Adam did, who trembled as he tried to cover himself with fig leaves. In fact, if we had to appear before God relying, no matter how little, on ourselves or some other creature, then alas, we would be swallowed up. We must not rely on ourselves, be it ever so little, for our acceptance with God. And we must not rely on our faith. Your faith in and of itself will not suffice to give you confidence before God. Faith, not your righteousness, but it is the object of your faith, Jesus, who is our righteousness before God. We have all reason for confidence today and always as we look to him and rest in him and his work. So, dear saints, look to him. Yes, now and every day of your life, look to Jesus Christ. Trust in all the work that he has done for sinners who call on his name and be assured all that Christ has is yours. By God's grace alone, When that confidence is yours in Christ through faith, you will never again need to fear the wrath of God. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, listen, you will be able to see your afflictions for what they really are. Not God's wrath. Not little foretastes of hell. But instead, you will see your afflictions, your troubles, your pains in this world as signs of your Heavenly Father's faithful and loving training for you, His beloved, justified children in Christ. Romans 5 and verse 1, this is where Paul goes with the truth of justification. Friends, read with me, Romans 5 verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. That wrath is coming on this world, friends. Paul wants us to understand how to be ready for it as justified sinners. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled and yes, justified by the blood of Jesus, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation and yes, justification, the gift of His righteousness unto eternal life. What confidence the gospel gives us when we look to our Savior and rely on His finished work and the grace of our God and Father. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.